and welcome to a new episode of From the Honeycomb Podcast. I am your host, Katerina Buranova. Each week, we dive into a blend of topics that resonate with the soul. Whether you're an architect enthusiast, have a passion for wanderlust, want to discover holistic approaches to rejuvenate your body and mind, or are intrigued to learn about Vastu Shastra with a modern approach, you've come to the right place. Join me as I sit down with inspiring, like-minded women from various walks of life. We will delve into their journeys to discuss the challenges and moments that define their paths. So sit back, relax, and let the spark of positive energy ignite your curiosity. Welcome to today's episode, where I'm going to be giving you an update on my entrepreneurship journey, where I am with my architecture firm, because I haven't given an update since November of 2023, so last year. So it's been a few months. We're now at March. So it's almost the end of the first quarter of the year, and there's a lot to catch up on. And of course, I'm going to talk about the launch of my ebook, which I'm super, super excited. This is something that I have really been working hard on the last few months for you, and I just can't wait to share a little bit more about it in today's episode. But before we begin, as you know, we sit down and think of something that we are grateful for in the present moment. And I was thinking about, what am I grateful for? You know, this morning as I'm sitting down to record the solo episode, and I realized one of the people that have come into my life most recently is my business coach, Petya, who was also a guest on the podcast. Actually, that's kind of how we connected. She was a guest on the podcast, and we just really vibed and just the energy. And I was like, I would love to have you as a business coach one day. And I kind of talked about it. Yeah, maybe sometime this year into the future. It was meant to be. Circumstances were created and it happened. And so Petya has been helping me launch this ebook and having someone help me. You know, I talk a lot about it takes a village to have your own business. It does. And delegating work and asking for help, especially in parts of the business that you don't know. So marketing for me is something that I'm just not very familiar with. And Petya has been able to guide me. We also have a lot of like similarities, especially when it comes to holistic approaches. And so she is someone for the first time. I've gone to so many free masterclasses and things like that. And she's someone I really, really resonated with. I guess this is also like a plug for her, but she is someone I just truly resonated with. And I always knew I kind of wanted a business like coach, but I never knew how to find, like how to connect with one. And then there was just something about her. We just really connected and I told her about the launch. And so she's been really helping me. And without her help, I think the launch wouldn't be going as it's going. And I know I'm recording this from the past and this will come out in the future, but I think the confidence as well in this launch and creating this product for you, because this product, it just comes from my goal is to help you have your own architecture firm. How can I help you? And so I've created this ebook and I want to get it into your hands so that you can also have your dream become a reality and have your own architecture firm. And with that, of course, you got to help. You need some marketing. And so Petya has been such an incredible coach, really inspiring me and helping me with this launch. And so that is something I'm really, really grateful for in the present moment. So since the topic at the beginning has been all about this book launch, I want to dive a little bit deeper into the launch of this ebook and what this ebook is. So it's the Mindful Blueprint for Launching Your Architecture Firm. And the way I created this workbook is from my experience. When I first started thinking about starting my own company, it was overwhelming. I didn't know where to start. I'd had conversations with my former boss, with my mentor, of course, Jesse, my husband, but I didn't know where to start. And I kind of had an idea in some ways how to incorporate just because Jesse had done it the year before for his company. But architecture firms are a little different than a contract, you know, a GC company. And there's so much that goes into it. The insurances, the contracts, the setting up a business bank account. There's just a lot that has to happen before you even sign on your first project. And I know I kept thinking like, okay, well, how am I going to get a client? How am I going to get a client? But yet before you have the client, you have to have the company, right? You have to have some sort of foundation of having a contract, having insurance before you can even start looking for clients, I think, because you need to have that foundation, that base of that business so that all of that is set in stone and then you can start looking for clients. And so the way I've set up this ebook is in different modules. So module one is kind of setting the foundation, right? Of setting yourself up for success and also letting go of the fear of having your business, right? So I put in a few activities that you can do, having a conversation with your loved ones, especially thinking about a plan, right? The biggest thing you need is to have a plan when you start your own architecture firm. Are you going to start it tomorrow, in a month, in a week, you know, in a year, in 3 years? Where are you? It doesn't matter. That's another thing about this ebook is it doesn't matter where you are in your journey. I want to help you start thinking about it because for me, it happened. I got licensed, then I incorporated, thinking I would possibly work part-time, do some moonlighting, and then start to go part-time and then fully, you know, transition from my previous employer to fully working for myself by the end of 2023. Obviously, that whole plan got thrown out the window when I got let go back in May of 2023. My whole journey kind of shifted and I had to scramble for a little bit, but I didn't have to scramble as much during that 2 week transition because I had established so much ahead of time. And so with all those lessons that I've learned and, you know, I know what kind of questions to ask based off of other conversations I've had. I've had to do so much research. I've had conversations with so many people, so many incredible entrepreneurs who have really made me feel so supported throughout this journey. And now I want to give back by creating this ebook to help you launch your own architecture firm. And by doing all of the research ahead of time, now you have this one source that you can go to find out everything that you need. And so, like I said, it doesn't matter where you are in your journey. If you're starting tomorrow, in a year, in a month, whatever it is, you can work through that workbook. Like I said, module one gets you kind of started, gets you a plan. And after that, I kind of divide it on, you know, because entrepreneurship, it's not a linear path, right? It's not a linear journey. It has a lot of detours and curveballs. And like for me, like being let go, just wasn't something I knew was going to happen. And so kind of getting ideas to get you started. If you're thinking about, like I said, if you're thinking about, okay, I'm ready to start my firm tomorrow. So then I walk you through those steps on what you can start to do, like getting a business account, figuring out what contract you're going to have, what insurance, figuring it out an hourly rate. What are you, because before you even have a client, you have to have an hourly rate, or what are you going to do, a fixed contract? You have to have that in mind before you can sign on your client, because they're going to ask you, well, how much is your time, or how much is this going to cost for your services? So you have to have all of that before you can even engage with clients. And then if you're someone who's thinking, okay, well, I'm more like a year out, maybe 2 years, maybe you're in the midst of your ARE exams, and you're like, after I finish my ARE exams, this is something I would be interested in, then absolutely, I have a path for you to take on that. There's things that you can do to kind of start building on to your company, right? There's a lot of networking, social media presence. Building your brand is something that's a huge thing that you need to start thinking about. For me, for example, part of my brand is this podcast now, and I was working on it much, much sooner, much, much earlier on, I should say, than I had my company, right? This podcast came out in 2021. I incorporated in 2023. So the podcast came before the company, but now I've slowly started to integrate my podcast into my KBA, Katerina Barinova Architecture Inc., my company, and I've been able to incorporate that and use this podcast as a way to network. So there's things that you can do, like I did with the podcast. I had that before I had my architecture firm, right? So that's, again, these things that you can start working on, even if you're thinking you're a year out, you're 3 years out, and you can jump around to the different modules, right? Because like I said, entrepreneurship isn't a linear journey. It has detours. And so if you're even thinking about, okay, maybe it's going to be in a year or so that I'm going to start my own firm, look through the other chapters, through the other modules, right? Get an idea of, okay, here's everything that I need to think about once I do start doing. And maybe there's certain things that you can start working on now, right? So just finding kind of what you are able to work on, especially financially, right? Setting up a company if you're going to incorporate or if you're going to be a sole proprietor, thinking about that, do you need to start saving up some money? So there's a lot that goes into it. But like I said, it's not a linear journey. So I allow in my workbook for you to be able to kind of mix and play through everything. And then why it's called the Mindful Blueprint is because entrepreneurship is, it's a lot. It can be overwhelming, especially when you're first starting out, right? And so I've incorporated and kind of sprinkled throughout each of the modules a gratitude list, taking a moment to reflect, think about things that you are grateful for in your journey. There's also going to be a guided meditation that I've recorded that you're going to get included with your ebook that you can listen to. I also have, like, I love crystals. If you've been following me, you know that I love crystals and I'm into the like holistic approaches as well into a business. And so I also have a few crystals that have helped me on my business journey, my entrepreneurship journey. You know, the crystal that I like to take with me to the client meetings, right? It's a green aventurine, I think. I always butchered the name of that one, but anyway, it's in the ebook, so you can see it there. But that's a crystal I always like to keep in my purse because it's for good luck, good fortune. And I feel like when I have that with me for potential client meetings, that brings in that abundant energy, right? Because I believe in the energy of crystals. And so you'll also get that included in the ebook. So there's a lot of amazing content in it. I am so, so excited because, like I said, so many people helped me when I first started out answering questions. Huge shout out to Bryn Young from Be Young Design. She's someone who answered so many of my DMs and helped me guide me on my entrepreneurship journey. There was also the guest I had last year when all of this was happening, when I was transitioning from my employer, from my previous employer to my own company, right? Ben Norkin was on my podcast and he helped introduce me to someone who that I now work with. And so there's just so much that I am just so grateful for and so thankful for all of the help that I had at the beginning. And like I said, now I want to give back because I want to give back to the next generation of, you know, this whoever's working on starting their own company now, this new group that wants to do that. I want to help you. I want to help you get there, have your dream become a reality because it's awesome. I love having my own firm. Because it's awesome. I love having my own firm. I mean, of course, yes, there are things that are a little hard to do, especially on like the business side that I'm still learning that have been challenging. But overall, the freedom of my own time, the ability to pick projects, you know, that I want to work on, work with clients, having my own design standards, my own layouts, like this has been so fun. Like I feel so confident in what I've been doing with my company and where I've been going with it and the projects I have, the clients I'm working with. It's just been such a fun journey. And I just want to share that with you. And I want you to experience this as well. Okay. But now let's talk about what has happened since the last time I updated you. So you guys were updated back in November about my entrepreneurship journey. And it's funny, that's actually around the time that this ebook idea was coming. I downloaded the idea and I started kind of working on it. And since then, I believe, I don't know if I mentioned it in the last episode, but I signed up to my biggest projects fall of last year. And those projects were just a huge achievement for me, right? Ending the year. What 2023 was a roller coaster of a year, you know, thinking that I would be working fully employed by the end of the year, you know, switching to my own company and then completely having it completely pivot and just flip upside down. And so, but having that feeling of, oh my gosh, signing up these two projects, knowing my projections into 2024, that by the time I was officially on my own, not the 1 year anniversary of my company, because I did it incorporate in February, because I didn't work the first few months, right? There's a lot of background stuff that had to be done. But by the time it is 1 year since I have been fully 100% on my own, my company will have hit six figures income. So not me making six figures, which would be amazing. I'm not getting there, but I mean, I'm getting there, but it's my company will make six figures, which is incredible to say that within the first year, I will be able to hit that mark. It's just incredible. I recently signed up another project with some really fun clients, and it's just been such a dream. Like, this is a dream job of mine, right? I feel like I'm working my dream job, and it has just made just this whole experience amazing. But of course, hasn't all been rainbows and butterflies and this whole everything is a success. Of course, there's been moments of doubt. There's been lots of moments of doubt. There's also been rejection, right? Every proposal that I send out, I haven't gotten a yes on, right? Like, I guess I'm saying I signed up two projects in the fall of last year, but I sent out, I don't even know, let's say six proposals. So of the six, I got two, right? And that's one thing I want to be more transparent with and I'm working on is sharing also those moments of, I didn't get that job. And then what did that feel like for me, right? There was recently a project I sent out a proposal for and the client seemed really fun. And it was a very cute little house and they were going to do an ADU on it. And I just was like, oh, this is so fun. This will be a really great project. And unfortunately, I didn't end up hearing from them, which is something I have also learned, is sometimes clients will let you know if they want to work with you or they don't. Well, if they want to work with you, you'll know. If they don't want to work with you, either you never hear from them again, or you, I guess, like sometimes they'll write you in like a few weeks, a few months. And so this is kind of the case of what happened is I sent out the proposal. And after like 2-3 weeks, I kind of got a feeling I was like, okay, you know, maybe they got too busy or something. You know, I really try not to take it personally. That's one of the big things I've learned, is not to take it personally, especially if I get rejected, because maybe it was my personality or whatever, but I didn't get that from this meeting. But it's could be another reason, right? You'll never fully understand the reason why you didn't get a project unless the client tells you. Like for this, the client said, we'd like to go in another direction, which probably means they hired somebody else, right? But it's kind of in that moment, I guess I want to talk about is when I got the email that they're like, I want to go in another direction. I was bummed. I took a moment and I just was like, well, that's a bummer. Like I really thought we got along with the clients, but again, could have been pricing, could have been they got along with another architect much better, like they found someone else. So there's all these kinds of possibilities of what, right? Like I said, you don't ever know why you didn't get the job. But in that moment, I let myself just be bummed out. I just was like, okay, I'm going to kind of grieve a little bit of like grieve this little project, right? Grieve this opportunity. And so I gave myself kind of like an hour to just kind of think about it. And I allowed myself to mope, right? Because if I was just like, oh, fine, let me just move on to the next thing, I didn't think that was right. I wanted to just experience the emotions, process them, because then I could move on. Because I did that, I feel like it opened up the opportunities, because in the afternoon I ended up finding out I was going to meet potential new clients, which I ended up getting the job with. And that kind of goes to show, and the big lesson that I've recently learned is, if for some reason you don't get a project or you don't get to work with that client, for some reason, there's a reason it wasn't supposed to be, right? You know, if you listen to this podcast, I believe in, you know, the universe and crystals. And I believe that for some reason, I wasn't supposed to get that project with the one couple. Instead, I ended up getting this other project, which has an incredible team, people I've worked with before, and it is just super exciting to work on. So for whatever reason, they didn't want me on the first project, it opened up and allowed me the opportunity to then work on this other project. And once I realized that whole day, I mean, like I said, entrepreneurship, it's a roller coaster, right? It's a roller coaster having your own firm, right? And that's the thing is, in the morning, I was bummed out about not getting this job. So I'm on a low. By the afternoon, this new opportunity came. I got really excited. I was like, okay, this will be it probably. Like the clients really wanted to start moving very quickly. And a lot of the team I had worked with in the past, which was really helpful because they could refer me and say, yes, we've worked with Katarina before. So that was really great to come together for this project. But like I said, that day, it's a roller coaster of emotions going from, you know, rejection to acceptance. But that's one of the things that I have really learned, is to compartmentalize as best as possible. I've been very good about it in certain aspects of my life, is being able to compartmentalize, because especially if you're an architect and you're working on projects and there's a lot of client personalities that come into the projects, lots of team members, you're working with contractors, you're working with structural engineers, interior designers, there are a lot of personalities for every project. And when you're having a challenging time, you know, you have to remember that it's just for that one project, or, you know, and if you're having a good time with a project, it's only for that one project. I guess what I'm trying to describe is the compartmentalization is remembering that you have to approach each project differently. And I'm going to back up and actually explain that in a better way so that you understand about compartmentalizing is when I go from one project, working on another project to another project, I have to remember the client and how do they read drawings? How do they read plans, right? As I'm working on their drawings. And I kind of have to compartmentalize and be like, this is how I'm going to approach this project. Then I'm working on another project in the same day, and architects will resonate with this, especially you don't even have to be a firm owner to understand this, the concept of what I'm trying to explain, which I'm sorry if I'm not doing the best job at. But then you work on another project and this client has a different approach on, you know, maybe they can't read plans. They want to see everything in 3D. The other client may be someone who's in the construction industry and can read plans and elevations and has no problem understanding the process, while the other has never done this for the first time. So then that is how I've learned to compartmentalize, is working on the different projects. But that has then elevated as a firm owner, because now I'm also thinking about it from a business aspect of approaching the client, especially when it comes to emailing, invoicing, and knowing that I can't just send something out because and there won't be a boss to kind of back me up, right? So those are kind of some things I've been learning, is the compartmentalization. Every day's up and down roller coaster, right, of entrepreneurship. You get a rejection in the morning, and then you have to compartmentalize that as well. Like, you can, I cannot let that energy affect me going into that meeting in the afternoon, right? I can't just be like, oh man, I didn't get that project, and have it ruin my whole day. That's why I wanted to feel the feelings in the moment before I had anything else happen, before I went into any other meetings. I just wanted to feel it and just understand, okay, got it. Didn't get the job again. So that's, again, also that compartmentalization, if that all makes sense. I know, kind of all over the place with examples on that. But it's learning to compartmentalize throughout the day as well, which has helped me be able to work with new clients and get the new projects. So there's been a lot of that. Of course, to kind of bring it in, some of the things that have been challenging, of course, is I have had my price, my hourly rate, questioned multiple times on it's too low and it's too high. And within a span of, I think, 10 days, I had, hey, you know, you should really increase your hourly rate. Like, it's pretty cheap, I think. Like, you need to increase your rate. To having conversations with clients about, oh, you know, I think you should decrease your rate because I think it's pretty high for your services. And that has been something that has been a huge growth for me, especially this first quarter of 2023, because I know my value. And I know what value I bring to the project, what expertise I bring to the project, right? And so, and that's something I was told actually by Bryn when we were talking about when I first started the company. I was like, oh, I don't know what to do, how to create my hourly rate, which I will help you in the ebook if you're figuring out like, how should I charge for my time? She said something where she said, people are going to question your rate throughout your whole entrepreneurship business career, right? There's always going to be people trying to negotiate you down, trying to, you know, see if you can reduce your price. And I've learned to say no. I thought about it with the one client and I thought, wow, I really, you know, do I want this project? Am I willing to, because it would be great for my portfolio, right? Would it be possible if I reduce my rate a little bit? And I ended up working, we went back and forth on a few things, but at the end of the day, they wanted to reduce it by 50%. And that's a possibility that I just couldn't see, right? So that's something that has been a huge lesson for me in the last few weeks, few months, is remembering to know what my value is. And yes, now that I have a few projects under my belt, I can say that I already charge projects under that hourly rate, right? Because I did also increase my hourly rate recently. And that has given me the confidence knowing that there are projects that are people who are willing to pay your price, right? And that's something in business you have to think about, is there are people who are going to be willing to pay the price because they know the level of they know why they're hiring you as a professional, right? They know your level of expertise. They know what you bring to the table. They know that because they're hiring you as the architect, especially, you are going to get them to the end goal, which is for them to live in their home, especially for me in residential. And so there are clients who are going to be like, no, let's go at a cheaper price. And that's one of the things that I have really, really learned, and to really just to stick to my guns. And I think that's something that if this had happened right when I first started, which it did, actually, it did. And I have a story about that in the ebook, where essentially another general contractor was like, yeah, you don't have any projects, you have no portfolio, you should lower your price so that you can get some projects. And he ended up way overstepping the line with me on some of the messages. And granted, this is someone I've never worked with before. So that was definitely an experience as well. And I share that about that in my ebook, is what was that like when your rate, your hourly, your essentially your rate is what you value, your time, you value yourself, you value all of the accreditation that you have, right? So the exams, the work experience I have, the schooling I have, that helped create my hourly rate, as well as, of course, it's competitive with the area, which again, I can help you with that in the ebook on figuring out what your hourly rate is. But there was someone who questioned my billing time and my billing rate. It did shake my confidence a lot. Like when I first started, like it was just, I was like, whoa, you know, maybe I am too high. Now that I've been working and I've been having more transparent conversations with other architects, I most recently had a conversation with another architect through some DMs on Instagram, and we were very open and transparent with each other on our fees and things like that. And that was really, really helpful, because I feel like people don't want to talk about their fees, especially in the architecture community. Like, I don't know any other architect. Like, now I kind of have an idea possibly of other local architects, what they are. Like, obviously, through my mentor, we've been able to talk, and he kind of helped me set my hourly rate as well, and to talk about competition. But of course, someone who's been in the industry for 20 years is not your competition if you have been in the industry for 5 years, right? And you're taking on smaller projects. I want to get to answering some of the questions I got from Instagram. I know I posted recently about recording an entrepreneurship episode, if anybody had any questions. And Caitlin from Architect Tet podcast, which also was a great podcast if you want to listen to, her question was, how are you preparing for your first tax season? I know business might be quarterly though. Great question. So that is a big thing that happened this first quarter, is I submitted my taxes for the first time. I was so nervous. I have been so, so nervous about taxes, because for my personal, that's easy. That was easy to do, of course, but for business, making sure I did everything right, right? So I use QuickBooks, and my accountant has access to my QuickBooks. And throughout the last year now that since I incorporated, they have been so helpful. I am so incredibly grateful for them, because they helped. Anytime I have a question, I'm like, how should I file this? How should I file that? They let me know, right? Because I am my own bookkeeper still. I've thought about possibly becoming my own or hiring it out at this point, because I only bill monthly and the amount of time I spend, it would not make sense for me to on a business side. So on like the expense side, it just wouldn't make sense to hire someone out right now, but they've been really helpful. And so coming up on tax season, right? I know, believe it or not. So actually, I know this episode comes out in March and the deadline is April 15th, but I file taxes in like February. I'm very early to a lot of things. I'm early to submitting my taxes. And so submitting my taxes, I was so worried. I ended up actually taking a whole day to just be like, the only thing I'm focusing on today is taxes, essentially. And I made it on a weekend. That way there would be no calls, there would be nothing. And I spent a Sunday morning. And thankfully, my accountant who helped incorporate my company as well as helps me with my taxes, personal and business, sent me a whole to-do list. Here's everything we need from you. What does that mean? Thankfully, because I have QuickBooks, half of the things I did not need, because she's like, well, I'm just going to go in and grab a few things and I'll let you know if I have any questions on it. But here's a few other things that I need from you. If you can just print those out, send those out, things like that. It was like bank statements and things from my business account, things she didn't have access to. And it honestly, I think it took like maybe an hour and a half. I thought it was going to take me the whole day, and it ended up being so seamless. But there's a few reasons why I think it was so seamless and why it was so helpful for me to just get it done in one day. I'm also very organized, right? And so I had everything prepped, everything documented. And in QuickBooks, I am very up to date in all of my expenses and invoices and things like that, that a lot of that was just so easy to submit. But it was really scary, right? I was doing everything right. And that's where I think having an accountant is someone, especially if you're a corporation, it is so worth it. It is so worth just hiring an accountant to do your accounting. You're an architect. You're not meant, no one expects you to be able to file your taxes, right? And so remembering that delegation, it takes a village. It really truly does take a village to have your own company. Delegate that work out. So that's how I prepared for taxes. One thing that I do prepare is, so this is some business advice or business information. Don't quote me on everything, because I know I'm also in the state of California. So this is how California works for S corporations. But my understanding is now, after doing a whole tax season, is my corporation only pays $800 or 10% of my income for the year, whichever is less or something like that. Again, I said, don't quote me on this. Whatever that is what I pay the government as my corporation. Because I get paid as an S corp, you get paid through, you're an employer and an employee. So I get paid as an employee through payroll. So I have a payroll account, payroll system that I have to do. That's one of the challenging things, is understanding payroll, how to pay yourself, when to pay yourself, because when clients, they don't all pay you, right? So when you used to work at your previous firm, you got paid always on this day and this day, whatever, like twice a month, once a month, whatever. Well, I thought I could implement that into my company, and I'm still kind of figuring that out, because some clients will wire transfer or Zelle you the money, right? Others, you have to wait for a check. You know, I'll send out my invoice on the first, and it can take 2 to 3 weeks to get fully paid because of either there's a holiday or if the client uses a bank to process their check, that takes a little bit longer. So there's all sorts of different routes, right, of getting paid. So it can't always expect all of the money to be in my bank account the day I send out the invoices, right? So that's something also to keep in mind. So I have payroll to pay myself as an employee, and then I have shareholder distribution, how you pay yourself as an employer. And so that's kind of the difference. And then on my personal taxes, that's when I pay my income tax. So again, don't quote me on this because I am an architect, not an accountant, not anybody who, I mean, think about it, I've never taken a business class. So remember, talk to your accountant, hire an accountant, because they are going to help you with your company, taxes, filling out the forms. I mean, it just, you have to hire someone to help you on that. I cannot stress that enough, especially when it comes to accounting. But yeah, so that's kind of how taxes worked. I was really stressed out. It ended up being super easy, much easier than I thought. And now, having gone through it, I now know what to think about for next year, right? What to keep track of. That way I can think, you know, put that together for the accountant already throughout the year and not scramble. But although, because like a lot of it, like you had to submit, I had to submit some of my expenses. If there was any sort of like large furniture or equipment or things like that, they want a separate list of what that is. And so I don't really have any much like big equipment, right? But it was like a new monitor, things like that. So that was put into like an Excel spreadsheet. And since I really don't have that many overhead expenses, it does make it a lot easier. And I'm also don't have inventory of products and things like that. So that's why it also kind of seemed like it was easier for me. But anyway, Caitlin, I hope I answered your question. And then Morgan from The Healthy Architect asked, what do you do when you start questioning yourself? And so that is a really great question, because like I said, when my hourly rate was questioned, that's when I started questioning myself. I was like, okay, about my rate. But there's also been moments, has there been moments where I've questioned if this is what I'm meant to be doing? That I will say no, because I feel I have made it. This is my mountain peak. Like, I love what I do. I love having my own firm. Like I said, it's allowed me so much freedom, so much ability to design how I want, work with clients that I want, have my own design standards, things like that. That has been just so incredible. But questioning myself, I would say I question myself not in having my own company, but I would say I would question myself in sometimes the way things were delivered. So maybe the way I presented to a client, I'll kind of question myself, like, ooh, was that the right approach? But if there is a moment where, and nothing really comes to mind specifically or any specific moment, and maybe it will while I'm talking, but thinking about moments where I would question myself, I guess the hourly rate is the biggest one, right? Because that questions my value, that questions my income, right? And what I value myself at. I would say take a moment to reflect and have someone that you can bounce ideas and talk to about whatever it is that you're questioning yourself about. So for me, of course, that's my husband, Jesse. And when, you know, I have these moments of kind of doubt, essentially, especially when it comes to, you know, should I do something this way? Then having someone to kind of talk you through, like just someone to talk through whatever it is you're questioning yourself about, that would be my advice. Because, and it could be, maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's another architecture colleague or a friend, or it could be your business coach. And just be like, here's why I'm questioning myself. You know, ask yourself, why am I questioning myself on this? Do I believe whatever I am questioning myself on? And if you say, yes, I believe everything, why I'm questioning myself, then write down why. And if you don't believe, you know, if you're like, nope, I don't believe this, deep down, I know that whatever it is that I'm doing, like, I shouldn't be questioning myself, you know, trust your gut. I definitely think you should always trust your gut. Then see what comes up for you. And I think that would be my advice for if you start questioning yourself or doubting yourself in the process at all. Like I said, I just love this. I love having my own company and being a boss. It's just, it's so, so fun. It's so fulfilling. I absolutely love it. I can't say that enough in this episode, I think. And then what comes next, right? So we're done with the first quarter of 2023 in just a few days. And I've had a list of goals, and I've been able to cross off a lot of those goals and achieve those goals. And I have goals for myself for this next quarter, right? Quarter two coming up from April to June. And there have been a lot of opportunities that have come up. But one of the things that I have learned, which my business coach, Beja, has really helped me with, is to learn to say no to certain things. When I first started out, I said yes to every possible opportunity. And there came a point where, most recently actually within this first quarter of the year, where it became overwhelming for me. And I started to notice that if I did not stop saying no to all these opportunities, especially opportunities where I wasn't getting paid, so a lot of speaking opportunities, which are amazing, which are fun, going to realtor offices, I've been at a middle school to give a presentation about architecture, to a high school about, or, you know, what it is to be an architect. Those are all really great things. And in the moment, you know, yes, I was excited about them. But now I need to think about, when I say yes to a lot of things, does it fully excite me? And there's already been a few events and few things that have come up that I have started to say no to. And I'm really proud of myself because they're free events. They're, you know, things I can go to, travel to. If it doesn't excite me and get me excited, especially if it doesn't get me excited or like light me up, and I don't love the idea of saying yes, then I need to really assess whatever this is that I'm going to or that I'm saying yes to, because I'm starting to get busier, right? And so, yeah, at first also I had I had so much more free time. I didn't mind doing presentations and doing this, but now I've come to the point where I don't have time, right, to do a presentation here for free, presentation there. You know, maybe I'll charge for my presentation times, who knows? But I would say that's where, again, goes back to valuing my time. And I'm starting to notice I don't have as much time as I used to when I used to say yes. And so really when I say yes to something, it has to light me up. It has to get me excited. And there's a few upcoming things in the next few months that I'm super excited about that are going to light me up. I got asked to be a moderator for an event that I am so incredibly excited for. And I'll be sharing more about, of course, especially on Instagram, if you all follow me on Instagram, but that's something that I'm super excited about. So, and that opportunity kind of came out of nowhere. And that was a moment where I was like, oh, that's exciting. Like, should I say yes? And I was like, I'm definitely saying yes. This is really exciting to me. And so learning how to also say yes to things now that I've become more established. And I don't have as much time as I used to, which is great, which means I'm getting billable time as well on projects. So my time is just looking differently. And that's something I'm learning to, you know, shift. And also, to saying to no is, which this is the biggest thing that I've been trying to learn, is also when someone says, hey, can you get that to me by tomorrow? And I know I absolutely cannot. Knowing that, hey, let me get it to you in the next 2 days, you know, and can I get it to you this day? Or not saying yes to, yeah, I can get this to you by the end of the week. If I say yes to 5 people at the beginning of the week that I'll get them something by the end of the week, I don't end up having time for the stuff that I had to do. And so that's something I've also been learning, is not saying yes to everything or being like, oh, let me look at my schedule. Yes, I can get this to you by this date. And that's been something that has been really, really great to be able to say, because that shows that I have work, that I'm busy as well, and that my company, that I don't have all this free time. So I hope this episode was insightful. If you are, again, someone thinking about starting your entrepreneurship journey, please go check out my ebook. I'll provide links in the show notes. And this ebook, I think, like I said, I put so much energy into it. And my love into it, because I love what I do and I want to help you do what you love. And if that means you love architecture and you want to have your own firm, I want to help you get there. So that is what I'm excited to share about in today's episode. The book has fully launched. I'm a little nervous to say it because obviously I'm coming to you from the past, but by the time this airs, the ebook will have launched, and I just can't wait to hear what you think about it. And hopefully it helps, and I can't wait to hear how you have found it helpful. So please, once you read it, work on a few things, reach out to me and let me know what you think. And I'm here for questions, and I want to help you have your own architecture firm. So please reach out to me as a resource, because I know I reach out to so many other people, and I'm here to help you. Thank you for listening to this episode of From the Honeycomb Podcast. As we conclude, I want to express my gratitude for joining me in today's episode. I hope you have found it insightful and inspiring. If you enjoyed today's episode, please take a moment to rate, review, and click that like button so you never miss an episode. And don't forget to share this with your friends. You can follow me on Instagram at From the Honeycomb Podcast, and you can also further your support of From the Honeycomb by visiting the Patreon link provided in the show notes. Your contribution helps make more episodes possible. And lastly, don't forget to subscribe to my monthly newsletter, A Spark of Positive Energy, that comes out on the 7th of each month. Thank you so much, and see you next Friday.